So I'm trying to figure out what you can do without that beef. Or can you kind of repackage that beef? Beef segment was amazing. Phone lines are open right now. You can call without a beef, or you can call with a beef and just not use it as a beef. You know what I'm saying? 1-800-636-8686. What do you want to talk about? We are wide open. I've got a gigantic platform for you. Big stage. Are you ready for the big stage? There's like 8 billion people listening. There's like 9,000 radio stations. All right, so maybe I'm embellishing those numbers a little bit. Maybe, but probably not. Would you like to take part? You want to show up? Show out? Do it. 1-800-636-8686. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so the NBA Finals getting it away finally tonight. To quote Ritt, finally. Lakers, big favorites.
Finally.
They should be favored. They're better. They're deeper. They're more talented. But they're not a lock. Miami was not supposed to be here. Miami, if I'm not mistaken, entered the bubble at 60-1 overall. Yet Miami is the team that's coming out of the East. So I would not assume anything about them other than they're going to bust their asses. They always do. They're going to be tough. They're going to be a tough out. Lakers, Miami, who do you got? Speaking of basketball, Scottie Pippen has said some pretty dumb things over the course of his 17-year Hall of Fame career, and even in retirement. Now, credit where credit is due. Unbelievable player. An amazing player. MJ said that he would not have had the career he had without Scott. Great player. So let me just be very clear about that. Scottie Pippen was a great player. Great player, terrible takes. Great player, terrible takes, even a worse tipper, reportedly. But in terms of the takes, yesterday, in a series of interviews, he made the rounds because he was talking about a partnership with Calm, a sleep and anxiety app, which is interesting, man, because he was giving me a lot of anxiety with his takes. I was getting very anxious listening to Scott talk ball yesterday because, again, he was saying some pretty dumb things. As an example, he weighed in with Business Insider on the NBA playoffs. And while most people are pretty thrilled that basketball is back, that postseason ball is back, that the NBA did an amazing job within the bubble, Scotty did not seem all that pleased with the product that he had been exposed to. Scotty seems to think that playoff ball is not much better than pickup ball. In fact, it's more pickup ball than playoff ball. As an example, he referenced Rajon Rondo's success beyond the three-point line as proof that it's much easier for players to play without fans. Yeah, I don't know, Scott. And that's where you're going to point to? Like, I would say that Rondo has been hot in previous postseasons and that him getting that handle, that moniker, Playoff Rondo, is not a quinky-dink. The reason he has that moniker is because he plays up and balls out during the postseason. So I don't think that's a bubble thing. I think it's a playoff thing. Hence the nickname Playoff Rondo. He's always been better in the playoffs. But then again, for a man glossed no tippin' Pippin, maybe he just isn't down with dudes and their nicknames. I guess, maybe. Because I don't know how you justify something like that. But there was more. He also spoke with Forbes. And while he was extremely complimentary about the Miami Heat and how people are not putting the proper respect on their name, I would argue that he himself did not show LeBron James the same respect when his name came up. During his rant, Pippen literally dropped this about LBJ. Quote, "I don't take nothing away from the Lakers and LeBron." Let me stop right there. Whenever somebody starts with, "I don't take nothing away," somebody is about to take something away. Quote, "I don't take nothing away." Again, get ready to get something ripped from you. "I don't take nothing away from the Lakers and LeBron going to his 10th finals. He still has to prove he can lead a team himself." End quote. Oh, dang. Scott, you did not go there. He still has to prove that he can lead a team himself. Hey, Scott, LeBron's leadership is being questioned. Is this 2010 or 2020? And I find that very rich, coming from a guy who refused to check himself back into a critical playoff game because he was not getting the ball. And still to this day has not owned that or apologized for that and barely acknowledges that. But fine. LeBron has not led anybody yet. That's fine, Scotty. You be you. But the Hall of Famer was not done yet. Not done firing off and spewing hot lava. And if you thought that was bad, that's nothing compared to this. This is where my guy really crosses the line. They got around to asking him about the Bulls situation and about Chicago hiring Billy Donovan and all the optimism surrounding that organization because they got a good coach. The cooler himself went with the biggest wet blanket ever when he said, quote, "If you're looking at it from a fan perspective, I'm not impressed with what they did. I don't think that they have made any dramatic changes that they're going to change who they are as a team," end quote. All right. Now you're taking a run at the Munster kid. And it gets worse. If you're listening, Herman, now would be a time to turn the radio down in the Munster mobile because he's not finished with your All-American boy who happens to be a werewolf. Pippen specifically said this about young Edward. Quote, "I like Billy Donovan as a person, but I don't think he's proved anything in the NBA that proves he's worth investing in and bringing a team up that needs help like Chicago does. They're a team that has been struggling for a long time. To me, I don't see the value he brings to them. He's going to be a coach, but there are a lot of them out there. He didn't do anything special in OKC that warranted him a second opportunity." End quote. Oh, hell no, Scott. Worst take ever, Scotty. Herman, stand down. I got this, Herm. What do you mean the Munster kid hasn't done anything in the NBA? Scotty, I mean, that opinion literally is factually wrong. That's not even an opinion. That's factually incorrect. I mean, correct me if I'm missing something here, but in Ed's first year in OKC, did he not trail Pop Spurs in the second round of the playoffs, 2-1? Did he not make a series of brilliant adjustments and then rattle off 3 straight games to win that series against one of the greatest coaches ever? Scott, I think he did. And then maybe I forgot. But I'm pretty sure it wasn't his fault when his team had that Golden State Warriors squad on the ropes with the choke in deep and failed to finish it. I don't think that was his fault. In fact, I know that wasn't his fault. He had them in position to shock the world. And then this year, Scotty, did you watch any basketball at all this year, Scott? It might have been the Munster kid's greatest coaching job ever. Ever. The so-called experts who can never agree on anything. They all agreed that OKC was in full tank, full rebuild mode. That the team had lost Russ. The team had lost PG-13. The team was cooked before the ball even went up. But what happened, Scotty? Little Eddie coached his ass off. My man looked up to his old man, adored him, and learned that anything is possible with hard work and discipline.
Anything's possible!
I mean, look at Herm. How do you not get that from Herm? This team embraced those core values, and Edward got them the 5th seed in the Western Conference playoffs. They had lottery written all over them.
I gotten away from my core values.
Thank you, Alvin. Well done. In the rugged West, the little Munster kid had them as a 5 seed, and he wasn't done either. He shows up in the bubble, changes out his vampire haircut, finds some independence, and pushes a way more talented Rockets team to 7 games. What do you mean the guy hasn't done anything to warrant another chance or hasn't done anything special in OKC? I mean, damn, Scotty. You talk about crossing the line. One thing to go at the Lakers. One thing to go at Rondo. Another to say that LeBron's never led anybody anywhere. But man, you do not want to go at Herm's kid. Keep little Eddie's name out your mouth.
Keep my name out your mouth.
Scotty, you accomplished some amazing things in the game, but you didn't do nearly enough to be running out lava like that. You owe him an apology, dude. For real. His old man might be calling up ownership right now and demanding that they get one of the icons of the organization to apologize to his son. Herm will go there. And trust me, man, you do not want those size 26C boots coming down there and putting them up somebody's backside. Herm's got to be pissed. I know Herm blasts the jungle in that mansion of his. I know he does. He streams us. Herm does. Apologize, man. Apologize. He deserves better. And now that that entire Munster clan is livid, you'll be lucky he even decides to coach for you bastards.
You're lucky she even performed for you bastards.
Leave Edward alone! Scotty, come on, man. You thought that contract you signed was the worst decision of your life? It wasn't. Picking a fight with the Munster is. Man, own that. Apologize for that. It's a bad take. In a series of bad takes, that was the worst take ever. That the Munster kid was not worthy. And I gotta be the one to defend the Munster kid. Me. I guess so. Come on, Scott, you're better than that. Or at least I thought you were. Actually, I knew your takes weren't. That is bad. Really bad. It's a good thing he's got a new partnership, though, with a sleep aid or a calming aid, or we would have never known that he had that in him. Now that I'm just out floating around. Lakers and Heat. That is some kind of take. This guy's going to the finals for the 10th time, but LeBron has never led anybody anywhere? He's on the verge of winning a championship with a third franchise. He led the Cavaliers to a championship. The Cavaliers, but he's never led anybody anywhere. Scotty, come on, really?
Cleveland! This is for you!
Dan Wojcicki will be joining me momentarily. And if you think that I did that just to bump that song and that it was not about the take, come on, man. Get that hit. I mean, it's a great song, but get that out of here. Best theme song ever. I'd love to know the dude or the lady or the group or who collaborated on that song. That is an amazing song. I bump that when I work out. Gets me hyped. It's like my hype song. Got to go for a long run. I'm just going to put the Munsters on loop. Mike D for three tweets. I think no tipping. Scottie Pippen is just pissed that a dude named Waiters is guaranteed to get a ring. Well done, Mike. Well played. I see what you did there. We did talk about that yesterday. Deion Waiters is getting a ring no matter what. There is your ultimate win-win. He gets a ring no matter what. He started the year with the Heat, was suspended as many times as he had games played. They got rid of him. Obviously, a guy ODing on laced gummies 40,000 feet up did not fit the so-called famous Heat culture. So they got rid of him. There's falling forward, and then there's Deion Waiters. He falls right into the hands of a team desperate for anybody who could shoot the ball. Ends up with the Lakers. They're the odds-on favorite to win it all. He'll get a ring.
Shoot.
But if for some reason Miami shocks the world and they win, he still gets a ring. Because he played for the Heat. They might not cut him in with any playoff bonus, but they cannot cut him out of a ring. Win, win, win. Mike D for three, quote, win. I think no tipping Scottie Pippen is just pissed that a dude named Waiters is guaranteed to get a ring. He is, too. It's an amazing situation for him. One of the reasons I think that the Lakers are going to be fine, they're big, too. LeBron's not going to get this close to a chip and not cash it in. And they can shoot it. Now, Miami does a really good job, as I mentioned, of getting out on the perimeter and getting after you and defending. But the Lakers can shoot it better now than before. They're better. They're deeper. Lakers in six. When we come back, Dan Wojcicki joins us. It is National Podcast Day. And in honor of that, Mark Madsen, the Mad Dog. He's got two rings. He joins me later on today. Make sure you look for that. That is episode 145 of the Jim Rome podcast. And phone lines are still open. I'm looking for an ATP. Somebody asked me a question. Any question at all. Dan Wojcicki is next.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. So I've been talking in and around the NBA Finals. Let's get right into it. Break this thing down. We are joined by a national NBA writer for the LA Times. He is a friend of the program. He was a panelist on our daily TV show back in the day. Not to be confused with this daily TV show, which is also a simulcast. That was a separate and distinct TV show. He is Dan Wojcicki. Dan, you and I spoke just over a month ago, so let me start right here. Dan, 1 month later, how is life in the bubble? And with the finals getting underway tonight, is there a feeling like the end is now in sight, Dan?
There is. That feeling is, I think everybody around here feels it, that it's like finally there's an end date, finally there's, home doesn't feel so far away for everybody. But it's weird, Jim, like, you know, you do really settle into sort of a routine. It strikes me that it's like, you know, I've essentially lived in this hotel room that I'm in now for a month, the longest I've ever stayed in the same hotel room. And it does sort of feel like home without, like, you know, obviously the people and things that you love. But it's like, oh, I've got to go home. Like, I've caught myself saying that a couple times. Like, I'm going to go right from home. And it's weird, like, you know, home is two twin beds and a flat screen TV and no microwave. You know what I mean? A small fridge.
That is something.
That's home right now.
It is the new normal.
No, yeah, it's getting used to it for sure.
The new normal. Dan Wojcicki joining us. All right, well said. You know, when you look at the Heat, let me start right there, Dan. After Tyler Hero's huge game against the Celtics, Jimmy Butler was wearing Hero's high school jersey the next day. And then after the Heat finished off that series, you wrote that Butler broke out an Eric Spoelstra University of Portland jersey. So what about that gesture? What's that say about what Butler and the rest of the team think about Spoelstra in particular?
Well, I mean, I think that they know how important he is to sort of where the organization is, right? That there wasn't that long ago, really, when Miami's 9-8 with LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh playing together for the first time, and there were real questions about his job security. And Pat Riley didn't waver, thought that Spo was the right guy. Obviously, history has proven him correct, you know, tenfold on this. But he's just such a steady presence. And I think the thing that strikes me being around the Heat a little bit, you know, over this last month is just how in line everybody in that organization is, from star to coach to front office to ownership. It's maybe as straight of a line through those principles as there is in the NBA. And that's where, when people talk about Heat culture, and you're going to hear it a lot during these finals, particularly if Miami plays well. You're going to hear that word a lot. They'll say it's a commitment to winning. They'll say it's a selflessness and playing tough and playing together. And those things are all true. But I really think it's the last thing. It's that this is a group that is very much together. And that's why, Jim, honestly, you know, if you were trying to talk yourself into this being a competitive series, and if you're trying to talk yourself into a way that Miami wins, to me, I think you can kind of look at the 2004 Pistons and say that was a team that went up against a team that had four Hall of Famers. This Laker team, you know, has two or three, three for sure. That team with Chauncey Billups and Ben Wallace and Tayshaun Prince, they controlled tempo in that series. They put their will on it. But ultimately, they won because the sum of their parts was greater than the individualism that they were facing. And I think that's what the Heat have to try to turn this series into is, you know, we're a team and we're going to play a team of five individuals. It'll be a challenge, but I think there's a pathway.
Dan Wojcicki is joining us. You know, Dan, I want to talk to him in a minute about the matchups, but you've got a really interesting piece up in the LA Times about Kobe Bryant's shoes and the number of players, coaches, and staffers who wear them. As you've written, at a typical Lakers practice, you might see a dozen different people wearing Kobe's. Why is that?
I mean, I think it's just a really, I mean, look, he's everywhere in terms of what this team, the Lakers, are doing here, right? Like, there are patches on jerseys, guys will wear T-shirts and things like that to pay tribute. But this is such a little thing, I think, that people, particularly, you know, guys that aren't playing, right? Like, the shoe's a good performance shoe and stuff like that, and I'm not going to show for Nike in that way. But I think it's, you know, it's a way for people like Rob Pelinka, Jason Kidd, you know, some of the people in security on the team that worked with Kobe Bryant. It's just it's a little way to kind of bring him with you on this journey. You know, I think that they feel certainly lifted by the memory of Kobe Bryant. And I think for the people that are particularly close to him or were close to him, I do think it's a way to think about Kobe without being kind of pushed down this rabbit hole of sadness, which, you know, comes with any untimely death, right? Especially one in which children are involved. Like, if you sit and think about how Kobe Bryant left this planet, you can get sad very, very quickly, very, very deeply. I think, you know, for like Rob Pelinka, for instance, right? Instead of like focusing on that, like when Rob Pelinka puts on the Kobe sneakers, you know, for him, he's transported back to those meetings that he had with Nike, right? Where Kobe is talking about how he wants, you know, a shoe to be inspired by the way like a shark moves through water and very Kobe things, also very Rob Pelinka things. But like, you know, it takes you to a place and it doesn't take you to the tragedy. It takes you to good memories. For Jason Kidd, it takes you back to the Olympics when you guys were competing against one another or with each other after years of competing against one another. For Dwight Howard, you know, it takes you to a good place. And I think there's some power in that. And you know, it is one of those things with so many things in this past year that if you really, really stop and focus on it, it can get dark really quickly. But I think that these small little things can, you know, ignite good memories instead of focusing kind of on the sorrow of the situation.
Dan Wojcicki covering the NBA for the Los Angeles Times. Well said, Dan. Good on you. Before I let you go, and I want to ask you about the LA Clippers. You and I talked for years about the Clippers. You covered them. You were on that beat. What was your reaction when it was announced that Doc Rivers would not be returning next year? Did that surprise you at all?
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, I think there were obviously, you know, when you blow a 3-1 lead, there are problems or ramifications and stuff like that. But I think, you know, Steve Ballmer was such a wild card in this, is that people didn't really know how he would react. And aggressively is the word. To me, Jim, one of the most surprising things in the last 36 hours or so in talking to people about what happened in L.A. was that my initial reaction is that, like, you don't fire Doc Rivers unless you're positive that you've got somebody that you think is better lined up. And that doesn't seem to be the case. You know, this was not we have a guy we want to go with for sure. Let's make this move so we can clear the seat for this person. Now, I think they really like Tyronn Lue. I think that is a Doc Rivers protege. He was on the bench this year. You know, I think that is a logical sort of halfway point sort of in a change. I don't feel like they need to, like, blow up the organization in any sense. And so Ty Lue helps them get there. But I think beyond that, it's really hard to say, you know, go hire Coach X and you're going to be markedly better than you were with Doc Rivers. Now, I think there's something to be said about after a long period of time, just changing a voice, things run their course. It's one of those jobs, Jim, that, you know, when you sign up to coach, you're essentially signing up to eventually be fired. That's a reality for pretty much everybody who takes that job, and Doc knows that. But I think I was surprised. I know he was a little surprised that it went down like this. And, you know, the Clippers have a monumental decision to make, because at the end of next season, whenever that is, Kawhi Leonard can opt out. Paul George can be a free agent. And sort of the future of the franchise rests in their ability to move forward in a positive direction out of this.
So one follow, Dan. In your opinion, what do you make of how they completely collapsed against the Nuggets? Like, how much of that is on Doc, and how much of that is on the players?
I mean, I think most of the time the blame goes to the players, right? I mean, look, Doc Rivers was stubborn in that series. I think he stayed with Montrezl Harrell too long. I think that if you look sort of big picture, their inability to form trust in their younger players, their inability to develop guys faster, I think certainly limited his options in these series. You know, did he make the big adjustment? He didn't. I'll say in Doc Rivers' defense, in all three of those games they lost, they didn't make the adjustment, and they were still up by double digits in all of those games, right? And at some point, Denver would make a push, and there was nobody who could stop it, and that was Doc Rivers' fault, but it's also Kawhi Leonard's fault. It's also Paul George's fault. It's also Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell's fault. You know, the guys on the court that needed to kind of put their foot down and you know, grab control of this and just get the Clippers over the hump once. They had three chances. They didn't do it. They tightened up. They played like a team, you know, that was – it was too easy, I guess, for them to let go of the rope in those situations. And we saw, look, Denver made a push against the Lakers, and the Lakers at first sort of wavered, but then they got their footing and they responded. The Clippers didn't do that three straight times. Like, yeah, that's certainly coaching, but I think there's also some really fundamental problems with the roster that they're going to have to address. And mostly, it's not a skill thing, Jim. I think it's a leadership thing. And they need to find somebody who, in those, when things happen like that, are, you know, somebody good enough that can speak up and help kind of get everybody settled down.
Couldn't agree more with that point. It is a leadership thing. Somebody's got to lead from the front, and their big two did not do that. All right, Dan, really quickly, so you mentioned the Lakers. On the way out the door, a lot of Laker fans might take the approach that, hey, there's no way we can lose. We've got LeBron. We've got AD. The team has been through so much. This is destiny. What is your reaction when you hear that?
I mean, I think that those are all good arguments. you know, ultimately, that's why I picked the Lakers to win this series in six games, is that I think at every turn this year, just no matter how many other flaws are on the roster or anything like that, that LeBron James and Anthony Davis have just been too good every time, right? Like it hasn't mattered otherwise. Those two guys have done enough, and they're so dynamic. And ultimately, I just don't think that's different enough against Miami. I do think the Heat have been spectacular in the bubble. They have got an amazing mindset, an amazing belief, tons of swagger, tons of confidence and toughness. But so do the Lakers. And I think the Lakers, on top of all of those things, have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And it's just this advantage that no one else has been able to overcome. And I don't think anybody will be able to overcome it, you know, in the finals, and I think the Lakers get their storybook ending.
I see it the same way. I like it, though. I'm really looking forward to it. The finals get underway this evening. He is a national NBA writer for the LA Times. And again, a panelist on the Daily TV show back in the day, Dan Wojcicki, my guest. Great job, Dan. You're almost there. Hang in there. Keep grinding. And I know we'll do it again soon.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Good job, Dan. Well done. Dan Wojcicki, excellent, excellent NBA writer for the LA Times. And I'd said it myself earlier, I love the Heat, and I do love their swagger. I love their work ethic. I love their culture. I love their grind. I think they're extremely well coached. I think their chemistry is amazing. And they're going to battle on both ends every single possession. They're going to be a tough out. I'm not shocked that they're there, and I think it's going to be competitive. I like the Lakers in six. When we come back, more on that. More on the finals, because Jimmy Butler met with the media. And I love Jimmy Butler. Everybody's like, this guy, man, he is just, he runs too hot. Butler is not worth the trouble, as good as he is. He's just too much. No, he was just in the wrong places. Bad fit. Miami is a perfect fit for Butler, and Butler for Miami. And it's no coinkydink that they're in the finals. He's got a lot to do with that. Quick reminder for you. You want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. We are close. We are convenient. We are known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and our excellent customer service. From the professional parts people that you know you can trust, stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. How about a sports update? Here it is. Here is Rich Ackerman.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
You know how I always say, I know what you're thinking before you think it? True. This is not that hard, though. I knew you would think this and then tweet this before you thought this, and you tweeted this. First, the tweets. Best sports update ever. That's from Stucknut. Then this guy, Rome, did you happen to catch Rich Smackerman, CBS Sports Update, during that last break? I would argue that it was his best effort ever. As insightful and informative as anything he's ever done. Jacob in San Diego. Yes, Jacob, I did catch it. I'm here. I introduced it. How could I miss it? At D.Bennett tweets, and I quote, did Rich Ackerman just decide to take a dump instead of doing his job?
Bennett.
Bennett. I don't know what happened, Bennett, but I've got an idea. I've got an educated guess. Yes, the reason all these knobs are talking about, hey, best sports update ever, that was Smackerman's best work ever. There was no update.
You have a big dump in your pants.
Or maybe there was an update and something technically went wrong. We're in the midst of a global pandemic, people. Lots of CBS's employees, including Sir Rich Smackerman, are working remotely. Things happen. Including that. No, I really do not think. Rich Ackerman.
Yeah, it happens.
It doesn't happen unless we're in the midst of a global pandemic. Let me tell you this. Like, things happen. Life happens. Bathroom breaks happen. My man is as professional as there has ever been. Like, if I have a guest on this show and he's a newsworthy guest, that guest is barely off the air before Rich Ackerman has turned around sound to play in his update. There's nobody like this guy. Like, he's the GOAT of sports updates. So to answer the question, I don't know exactly what happened, but no, I don't think, quote, he was taking a dump and that's why he missed his sports update. I really don't think so. I haven't discussed it with him, but I don't need to discuss it with him. Something happened technically. There was a ding. There was a glitch. There was a hit. The ISDN line failed. I don't know. But I can almost unequivocally guarantee that it was not because he, quote, was taking a dump. We're all pros here. We have learned to use the bathroom in and around our updates and our segments. Let's go to the ATP. It's time to answer the question. Were you... Submit it to me, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Jimmy Jim, speaking of Christmas, are you a real tree guy or a fake tree guy? Yes. I've done both. I mean, obviously, I'd rather be a real tree guy. But I'm not going to lie. I can't sit here and say that I haven't gone fake tree. I've gone fake tree. There were years when we went fake tree. So the answer is yes. But I prefer a real tree. All right, so the NBA Finals get underway tonight, finally. Finally, Rit.
Finally.
Let's talk Jimmy Butler for a minute. He met with the media, and Jimmy Butler is always interesting. He was good on a number of topics. Remember the Heat. They were 60-1 when they pulled up in Orlando, and all they've done since is get Nate McMillan fired, make people question how great Giannis is, cause the Celtics to nearly give each other the hands in the locker room. So they've done a lot of damage, and people did not expect them to be where they are right now. No surprise, though, knowing Jimmy Butler the way we know him, he's not buying into this narrative that they're already beaten and they're this gigantic underdog.
I just don't think that we're underdogs. I don't. So what that nobody picked us to be here? That's okay. Pretty sure nobody's picking us to win either. That's okay. But we understand that. We embrace that because at the end of the day, we truly don't care. We're just going to go out here and compete, play together like we always have, and see where we end up. But at the end of the day, we're going to do this our way, the Miami Heat way, and that way's worked for us all year long.
Sounds exactly like Buckets. Say whatever the hell you want. Vegas, Laker fan, everybody else, we don't give a damn. We haven't given a damn since day one. We're sure as hell not going to start giving a damn right now. And why would they care that everybody thinks the Lakers are going to roll right through them? Everybody thought the Bucks would do the same thing. Look who's still here. Everybody thought Boston would handle them. Look who's still here. And it all starts, of course, with Jimmy Butler, heart and soul. Grit, toughness. Remember when he chose South Beach over Philly and everybody was killing him for that? Yeah, well, it turns out Jay Buckets was not going to Miami for the weather and the coffee. He was going there for that now world-famous Heat culture.
I just get to be me here. I get to call it how I see it. Nobody takes it personally. I don't have to worry about anybody trying to control me. I'm glad to be where I am. As you can tell, it's worked out. I knew the type of structure that I wanted and needed, and it was here. Heard about it, obviously, meeting with Coach Bo, Coach Pat, everything that they're about. It just fit me working. We got a group of guys that do that as well. Saying it like it is, holding everybody accountable, and moving on from it. You get to come here, you get to be you. I'm in. Obviously, I get traded a couple times and end up here, and it's everything. I'm so comfortable being myself more than I've ever been. These guys love me, love who I am, and it's reciprocated towards those guys. I'm just grateful for him and for him believing in me and giving me this opportunity. So we are all very thankful for the Godfather.
Man, that's such a great soundbite. Let me translate that for you. Nobody gets butthurt when I show up and be me. Nobody gets butthurt when I push them to work harder. Nobody gets butthurt when I try to make them better. Nobody gets butthurt when I ask somebody to do something that I'm already doing myself. Such good fit. Pat Riley. Like, Riley is amazing. I mean, I don't know what's more amazing, that the guy's 75 or that that legend continues to grow as he gets older. This guy's revered. I mean, for years and years and years, I've talked to guys that have played for him, and we're talking about extremely wealthy, young, successful athletes, and they're all in awe of Riley. You heard Jimmy call him the Godfather, which is exactly what he is, because look at what he's done. Look at what he's built. Look at what he's built in Miami. Nothing short of amazing. This guy's out there putting together different cores that have made it to the finals six times in the last 14 years. I mean, you had the Dwanier-Shaq team, then you had the Big Three, and now you've got Buckets and company. One thing to run off a bunch of championship appearances with that same core group. Entirely another to build it, rebuild it, and rebuild it yet again. And that's what they've done. And again, you can't talk about the Heat without talking about their culture. Personally, myself, I'm fascinated by it. And a big part of that culture, and it's been like this since Pat Riley got there. All right, this is not like a Jimmy Butler thing. I'm just saying that there's no better fit for Butler than Miami because of that culture. You know, he said it. Guys can say whatever they want. Nobody takes it personally. They can tell it like it is and move on and get better. Dan Wojcicki said it. He's never seen an organization that had a straight line run through it like this one, from the very top all the way down. Ownership to Riles to Spo. I mean, Spo grew up in that culture. And this guy is an amazing coach. I mean, the Heat culture is so well known and so well respected. LeBron, even though it ended really badly, and Pat Riley was really angry when LeBron left the way he did, LeBron is still talking about the Heat culture 6 years out.
I think being around, you know, Riles and Spo, D-Wade and UD, you know, just to name a few, being a part of that culture allowed me to grow, allowed me to see what it takes to not only compete for a championship, but also to win a championship. So it definitely, you know, put me in a position where I knew what it took. I saw what it took. But also, you know, I fit that culture as well because how hard I worked. So it was a perfect match for those 4 years.
The amazing thing is everybody gets it. Everybody who has been within it, everybody who was within it and left. LeBron still talks about it. The only guy really confused by it is Dwanier. Dwanier is the only guy, and he should be the guy least confused by it. He's the one that spent the most time there. He's the one that got the three rings there. He's the one that they named a street after there. And yet, when asked on Twitter, by Magic of all people, who he's rooting for, Dwanier said, quote, "It's a win-win." He literally said that. It's a win-win. And Magic posed the question because, well, you did win three rings, but LeBron is your guy. So what are you going to do with that, Dwanier? Dwanier must have been like with his phone, "Man, I'm trapped. Irv got me. What do I do, man? I got nowhere to go. My back is to the wall." Well, I don't want to go on record with it. I don't want to alienate the organization that paid me $160 million that I won 3 rings with. Man, but I really don't want to get on the wrong side of Braun. I'll just call it a win-win. And I'll hedge by saying, we're up here in Heat Nation. Actually, Duane, that was a lose-lose. It was a terrible take, and you got hooked by magic. So everybody understands the Heat culture, except for the guy who should understand it best of all, Duane. Game one tonight. Who you got? With the Capital One Venture Card, you can earn 100,000 bonus miles that you can actually use. Redeemable for vacation rentals, car rentals, and more. When do you spend $20,000 in your first year? So what's in your wallet? It's a limited time offer. Terms do apply. See CapitalOne.com for details. Great day in the jungle. We had Aaron Rodgers back in. We had John Morosi. We had Dan Wojcicki. We had a great beef segment. We had the ATP. The day continues. I'm not done. When this show goes off the air, I am not done. There's still a lot of work to be done. I've got a Jim Rohn podcast episode, which I'm going to push out. Ep 145 on National Podcast Day, featuring the Mad Dog, Mark Madsen. Look for that a little bit later on. My thanks to the XR4TI. Thank you, Clone. See you later. We're out.